Well, I certainly was having some flashbacks when Robbie was talking about having your name called. And all I could think about is, Miss Smith, can you send Philip down to the office? You see, my dad was a principal, and there was like a direct line from school to school. Is there a God? You darn right there's a God. We were never in the same school. Hallelujah. You know, my dad, he had a somewhat stressful job. You know, I'm sure it had its joys. And I'm talking about the job he got paid for, not the one at home, okay? And it was a normal day. Normal. And Father came home. Somewhat of a routine. One could even call it a ritual. And he'd walk into the house and he'd start counting. And it wasn't like this educational moment of numbers. But rather, it was 1, 2, 3. Now, he's not counting down like, you better get here by the time I get to 10. No, this is 4, 5, you know, and he gets up to 13. 13 lights on in the house. You know, that doesn't count the refrigerator if you open it up or left it open, you know. And this one particular day, when my father comes home and he's going through his routine and his ritual of counting the lights and letting us know how many lights were left on in the house, and it's something, I cannot remember what happened. I just know it was during the school year and he had come home from work. And obviously there was a lot of commotion in the house. You had me and an older brother and a younger sister. And my dad gets up to his numbers and all of a sudden something's happening and there's a commotion. And my dad's like, darn it, Agnes, I can't hear with all these lights on. This is a true story. Now, what is helping or hindering us from hearing the good news? What is helping or hindering? We have habits and rituals and routines in our lives that are either going to help us or hinder us from hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, you know, last week it was what's in your heart. And we're not doing like a commercial series, but today is can you hear me now? And you probably remember that old Verizon commercial. It started in 2002, and the guy became pretty famous, known as the Test Man, because he would go around and can you hear me now, right? In all these different places. It's all about like having the service, the availability, the connectivity. I mean, now we're up to, I'm not sure even how many G's we've got now, right? 5G, 4G, 7G, I don't know. Can you hear me now? That's the whole thing. You want a phone that works. Now, here's the thing. Can you hear me now? I want you to take that and I want you to say, okay, well, who's asking the question? Are we asking that question, can you hear me now, to God? Or is God the one asking that question, can you hear me now? You know the answer. Because God is always available. There is no disconnection between our prayer and God's ability to hear. We talk about calling someone's name. Just like Mary was called by name by the resurrected Jesus, Jesus calls us out of our own tombs, out of our own weeds, if you will. And so today, we're going to look at a couple passages. And before we go any further, I just want to say, like, today is, the lesson is rooted in committing to hearing the voice of God. Okay? But let's not limit it to this audible hearing, right? When we look at the Gospel of John later on in John chapter 10, what's interesting is that's all about the voice, which Robbie had referenced just earlier. But in the previous chapter, we're talking about people who are blind, and we're not talking about physical blindness, but spiritual blindness in the end, because Jesus had healed a boy who was born blind. And then he says to the Pharisees, you are really the blind ones because you can't see. God communicates in a multitude of ways. Paul writes to the Romans. He says that, Philip, don't lose your spot and take out your piece of paper and you put your paper in a different place. Good thing I'm not trying to find Zephaniah. Paul writes to the Romans in the very first chapter. He says, from the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, like his eternal power, his divine nature, it has been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made. Right? His invisible attributes through what he has made, what is visible to us. As a result, people are without excuses. People are without excuses that God exists, and for us on this side of the life resurrection of Jesus, the life death resurrection of Jesus, we have no excuse that God so loved the world he created. Today, we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So this is a classic, what you would call a call text. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. Understanding the revelation of God Almighty. So before we go any further, let's just give ourselves a little bit of context on Samuel, right? We have 1 and 2 Samuel. Most scholars will say that 1 and 2 Samuel were just one lump Samuel. Most of the books of Samuel are about the Davidic kingdom. Saul, David, and the rise of the kingdom of Israel and its height. And eventually in Kings, which follows Samuel, we see the building of the temple. Samuel, the last prophet that we would see, the last judge who would go around. See, Israel has yet to been given a king. And they were kind of doing as they wanted to. The text would tell us that, people did as they wanted to, right? So you're coming out of the time of Judges, and this is kind of a transition period. The temple is in Shiloh. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. And Samuel's mother, Hannah, is childless. And she goes for a while. She doesn't have any kids, and she's really praying to God. And then God says, I'm going to give you a child. And she dedicates her son after he's been weaned to God. And Samuel grows up in the temple, right? And so, like, how old is Samuel about this time? Most people say about 12 years old. So here we are, Samuel, this huge, important figure, the person who anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, and anointed David. First Samuel, chapter 3. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence, Eli's the priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. You know, it doesn't say God wasn't speaking, did it? But it was rare. And why is that? Maybe the people weren't listening. Prophetic visions were not widespread. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, all right, so Eli's getting a little older, was lying in his room before the lamp of God had gone out. Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Now, I'm going to confess to you right now that, you know, sometimes you just keep reading the same thing over and over again. You think you're going to get, you know, but God, what does God do? God speaks through his word. We have to be committed to listening to God through his word. We have to be open. We can't just go in and say, I know what it's going to say. And I am guilty of that sometimes. But as I continued to study and read, it was revealed to me. I'm like, you know, I never really thought about that. Samuel, where is Samuel? Where is he? I know where he is. I could show you on a map where Shiloh is. I know what's around. But where is he? He's right there in the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. What does he do? He ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Natural response. The word of the Lord was rare. Samuel's only a young lad. He really hadn't been called or had an interaction. He'd never experienced this before. Okay. I didn't call, Eli replied. Go and lie down. And so he went and he lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. What does Samuel do? Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, you called. I didn't call, my son. He replied, go lie down. Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord because the Lord, the word of the Lord, had not been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, how charming, the Lord called Samuel. He got up and he went to Eli. Here I am, you called me. Then Eli, now Eli probably should have had a better understanding of what was happening maybe on the second time, okay? But at least he finally got it on the third time. Samuel, he says, now go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. This next verse, verse 10, is simply powerful. The Lord came, stood there. The Lord stood there. If you didn't catch that, that means the Lord is there in his presence. It's not just this voice, this thing that's coming out of somewhere, thinking it's Eli. God himself, the Lord, is standing there in the presence, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel heeded the wisdom of Eli. Speak, your servant is listening. You know, this does remind me of my buddy Ray Kinsella. You know, Ray Kinsella, he had a cornfield, and he plowed up the cornfield, and he built a baseball field. And he did that because he was out in the cornfield, and he heard a voice, and he says, if you build it, he will come. And so he does, but see, he hadn't built the field yet. He hadn't plowed up the corn. You know, so he hears this voice. He's just convinced he's hearing this voice, but what does he do? He goes to his own Eli, right? He goes down to the farm and garden, right? He's going to pick up some oil, right? And some seed. No, he's there for information. He's there for confirmation. He's there for affirmation. He wants to know. I'm kind of new at this farming thing. I was just wondering if anybody else ever heard voices out in the field. And then once, you know, then I'm like, who's hearing voices? Ray is out in the field. No, I'm not hearing noises. Tractor noises. Tractor noises. And that's how we are a lot of times. Like, oh, this is irrational. God can't be speaking to me. God can't be speaking to me. They're just tractor noises. And a lot of times in our lives, we just want to cast them off as tractor noises rather than the voice of God who stands before you. And the question is, are you in the presence of God? Think about what Samuel did. He knew, he was like right there. He was so excited to be in the temple. Like he's laying down right by the ark. He's not in Nova Scotia. This is exciting. And the question is, how often do we hear the voice of God? You know, the prophet Elijah, he's running away. And he had all these things happen, right? Earthquake, fire, wind. Right? No, it's the small voice, the small whisper that speaks to Elijah. Does God speak loudly? You darn right he does. And the more we experience, the more we get in and listen, actively listen and study the Word of God and listen for the voice of God, the more in tune we are with it. It's just like I'm riding my bike. You know, the other day, after Wednesday, I went on all the way to the other side of Apex, other side of 64. You know, I had never been that far. But the places I had been before, those checkpoints, I knew where I was. But you get out in somewhere you hadn't been down that trail before, it's unfamiliar. You just don't know when it's going to. Next thing you know, I cross 64, I go through this little tunnel, and it's like, well, trail's closed, you got to turn around, right? That's the way life is. But as I'm on those familiar spots, I know where I am. I recognize it. And like Ray Kinsella, go back to Ray. That's not the only voice he hears. He hears multiple voices, and the next time he hears it, he knows. Because he knows, because God has proven that he is there with him. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus is telling us that he is the good shepherd and that he is the gate or the door to the sheep pen. And it's a wonderful, wonderful text. And Jesus says, I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, here's the irony, is that Jesus is the good shepherd and he is also the lamb. He is the high priest, but yet he's also the ultimate sacrifice. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. You know, we may be God's children and sheep of the Good Shepherd, but oftentimes we get confused on what we're hearing. Let's jump over to verse 11. Jesus again, he says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away. You see, the thief and the robber, they come to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But the Good Shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. There are people in this world who are not in the church, regardless of how you define the church, visible or invisible, that are not ready, have yet to receive Jesus as a personal Savior. That will recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. Our job as believers is to not be a hindrance, to not blind them with the lights of our lives where they're like, I can't hear with all these lights on. Are we here to help or hinder the gospel moving forward? Jesus, he lays his life down for the sheep on his own accord. Nobody can take it from him. Jesus did this, why? Because he loves us. And so, the Good Shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep has set us an example. You know, this morning, I looked out and I saw this banner hanging outside. I confess I had yet to notice it. And it said, hello, sunshine. You know, if somebody says that to you, hello, sunshine, you know, don't you want to be called sunshine? Yeah, ain't that nice? Right? Hello, sunshine. You know, yesterday, speaking of corn, Joanne, I had put some corn out a couple weeks ago. And I'd been looking. I hadn't really seen much corn, you know? And I'm getting a little worried. Now, I had sowed some butter beans a couple weeks after. They're up. They're like, hey, here I am. They're all like, speak, your servant is listening, right? And they're just coming out of the ground going, hallelujah. Give me some sun. Give me some rain. And I'm just not really seeing anything. I'm getting a little worried. Because my dad, we were talking, and he's like, yeah, you know, that heavy rain might have, you know, pushed them down. You know, something may have not happened, right? And I walked around, and I looked, and I'm looking into the sun. And as I look into the sun, now I can see all these little corn stalks coming up out of the ground. Hello, sunshine. If we're not looking into the sun of God, we're not going to see what is supposed to be growing in our life. And I got one last thing right here. I know that's upside down, and I went ahead and this is a local company out of Garner, okay? A perennial flower mix, right? A little garden mix. And I want you to think about this. An annual is something you got to plant every year. Perennial is supposed to be like something that constantly comes back. Now, you laugh on your own accord, okay? I'm going to read what the perennial garden mixture says. This mixture was carefully selected to provide year after year of uninterrupted color in ever-changing patterns, spring through fall. The varieties are easy to grow, flower generously, tolerate neglect, and multiply without being coaxed. Their long life will save the time, labor, and expense of replanting every year and provide an excellent framework around which to plant annuals. That sounds like a fried bologna sandwich to me, and you know it. Now, we cannot live a life of perennial garden mix. We have got to get in there and till it up and fertilize it and water it and care for it, and they don't say anything about what? Weeds. And you know as well as I do that the weeds of life will come in and choke it out. And God says through his word that if we are sowing the good seed in the soil and take care of it, then it's going to be what? 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's the harvest that we want. Amen? I got you some ABCs today. You ready? A, we have to acknowledge that God exists and continues to reveal himself in a myriad of ways. B, we have to believe that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, who laid his life down as a ransom for many. And we have to continue to commit to listening to his voice through the Bible, through fellowship, through prayer, meditation, looking out at his wonderful creation. Worship and fellowship together. Can we say, strike that, let me back up. Please do yourself a favor and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.